appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. Good to see y'all at camp meeting tonight. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. He's been good to everybody tonight. I thank the Lord for that. Isn't he a good God? He's a friend. Stick a closer than a brother. I'd like to say a few things tonight before I try to get into preaching. I appreciate the way that you're coming together and keep the old paths the old paths. There's a generation counting on us to keep the light burning. Glad we can still sing the old songs and preach the old story. It never grows old. I appreciate these men working together. I hope the Lord lets me preach that thought tomorrow night on being together. And it's amazing what people will do if we'll just get together. Magnify our great God. And exalt his darling son who hung at Calvary's tree for your sin and my sin. I'm grateful he saved me. I was a little lost Church of Christ boy. Grandmama told me if when I got 12, if I'd just be baptized and join the church. If I could live good, I could wait and see if I could make it. But I'm glad I got a better story to tell than that tonight. Matter of fact, it's nothing I've ever done. But it's what he's done for me. And I'm grateful to our great God tonight. There's 25 preachers or so here. It's good to see friends and old acquaintances. Good to see Brother Tripp. Hadn't seen him since Kentucky. It's good to see you, preacher. You men know where I stand tonight. And I appreciate it if you'd pray for me. And then you folks that are here, you pray for us. We need the touch of the Lord. We need God's book to be opened up and declared. We have no apologies for the Word of God tonight. We sure have got somebody we can brag on. If you have a Bible this evening, turn with us over the book of Psalms, chapter number 127. Book of Psalms, chapter number 127. I'd like to share a few things on my heart tonight. Psalms 127. I found out it's all right if you cry a little bit. Some of you let your head leak, it wouldn't swell near as bad. Amen. I love to get in a squalling meeting. I love to go to church when I have to go home. Can't wear the suit back that night. Got marks all over it. Psalms chapter number 127. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, then the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Sleep's an amazing thing. You ought to not do it at church, but you ought to get caught up on it on Saturday. Somebody say amen right there. It's a precious thing to have sleep. You ever thought about this? Just let me sleep on it. May change your mind if you think about it while you sleep. Then he says, verse number 3, he goes from the thing of great vanity to something of great values. And he says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy. I'm glad I looked that word up because I've not always been happy. Happiness comes in happenings. But only joy comes in Jesus. This word is blessed. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this precious time around the Word of God. Thank you for the singing tonight. Thank you for the saints of God that have gathered. But Lord, if you're not in our midst tonight, then Lord, it's just a gathering. But I pray and I ask you, Lord, would you touch me tonight to be a blessing? Would you help me, Lord, God, to speak to the hearts that you would have spoken to this evening? Thank you for helping me this week. I want to thank you. I know I can't do this by myself. And Lord, I'm a needy preacher, and I'd ask you, would you help me tonight? I'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Tonight in a text verse of number 3, the Bible said, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. I'd like to preach on this subject this evening on somebody save the children. Somebody save the children. Now, you'll notice in the reading of the Word of God tonight, there's a declaration. In verses number 1 through 2, he says simply this, except the Lord build the house, thy labor is in vain that build it. Now, this declaration, he says in verse 1, he said, unless the Lord's involved, your work is in vain. I know a lot of folks trying to build a building, and we got a whole lot of pretty buildings, but we ain't got a lot of God in our country. We need the Lord to build the building. He said, there's a great declaration. He said, without the Lord, working is in vain. Then he said also, he said, without the Lord, your watching is in vain. He said, verse 1, he said, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now here Solomon has built a fortress. He's built a tabernacle that there where the ark of God has been placed. David brought the tools to be built with, but God never let him build that house, but he entrusted it to his son. Now Solomon has built a great house. He's an older man and he's looking around and he says, you know what? I figured something out. Unless the Lord build the house, not only is our work in vain, but our setting up watching is in vain. Let me tell you tonight, we do need to have a strong army in America. We need to have all of our armed forces in place. But honey, if the God of this Bible's not keeping this nation, we're all going down. You can set a watchman at every corner unless the Lord keeps the house. Our watching is in vain. I will remind you, in my childhood, we never seen planes fall into buildings. We've shook our fist in the face of our God and said, we don't need you anymore. And I'm afraid in certain situations, he said, fine, then you can have it. We've said that we want same-sex marriage as a whole in America. He said, fine, you can have it. So we've got it. But I come to tell you tonight, I'm glad that I'm in the blood-washed crowd that knows better tonight. I'm not an old man, but I am old enough to know this. Unless the Lord builds the house, our work is in vain and our watch is in vain. And he said, I'll tell you something else. He said, it's bad for you if you get up and down all night because your worry's in vain. But if the Lord's got everything in control, he said, you can lay down and sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. And it's a blessing to lay down and go to sleep. Boy, when I was a young and I could lay down in the path by the barn and go to sleep. Now the young boys in the church say, let's go camp out. I say, I'll stay there at 11 o'clock, but I'm going home getting my bed. Somebody say amen right there. Now I want to say tonight that would somebody please save the children? There is a declaration. And then there is a proclamation. He said in verse number 3, lo, children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, I want to say tonight in this proclamation, you should not abort your child. God is in the giving life business. It's a bad day in America when we pull a child from an unborn womb and lay it on a table and sell its body parts in a commodity. It's a sad day in America. We should not abort our children. Number 2, we should not abuse our children. Children are made to guide and to steer and not to misuse. It breaks my heart to see abused children. Now, how foster parents throughout our church and the state entrusts them because of their abused children. I'm glad of some mom and daddies tonight that can give a child a good home. Amen. One of the greatest families in our ministry came in the other day. Two little old girls, stair-step young'uns. God has entrusted them to raise them because they've been misused and mishandled. And by the glory of God, one's already got saved. We should not abort our children. We should not abuse our children. And mom and daddies, we should not abandon our children. I realize tonight that as a crowd of a whole is my age or older tonight. But I want to read a verse before I get into what I want to preach to you, what's labored on my heart. The Bible said something in Proverbs 17 and 6 that I knew nothing about until about 7 or 8 years ago. He said, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. I thank the Lord for grandchildren tonight. Has anybody in the house got grandchildren? Aren't they grand? I've heard people say, I've got great grandchildren. If it gets any greater, I'm going to leave out of here, friend. I can't take it much longer. I love my grandbabies tonight. This evening, I called my wife, and the 5-year-old boy answered, and he said, Pop, where are you preaching this week, Pop? Then he said, Pop, he said, when you coming home? I said, Saturday. He said, Pop, that a long time. I miss you, Pop. I don't know about y'all, but it's just something with them little old grand young'uns down in my soul tonight that nothing else has ever touched. But I want to say this. It might not be your children I'm preaching about tonight. It may be your grandchildren. But it's very important that we save the children tonight. I want to get right on where I want to preach at. I won't be long. I've been preaching too long each night. I want to say not only is there a declaration, a proclamation, but did you notice in the Bible, now all of a sudden appears a great illustration. He says in
The arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You'll notice all through the Bible that there's illustrations of arrows, and I want to use those arrows as an illustration tonight as our children and our grandchildren. Now notice in this great illustration, I'm a man of outdoors, and I enjoy things outside, and don't nobody get spooked. I ain't pulling no snakes out of the bag tonight. Don't nobody get spooked on me. And I'm not one of them gimmicky preachers. I'm not going to pull a slinky out, or I'm not going to try to swallow no goldfish to get you here. But I want to give you an illustration tonight that the Holy Ghost has given me to give to this people this evening. Now, in the hands of a mighty man are arrows. I don't know if any of y'all know much about arrows or not, but arrows are not real effective unless they have a bow. And so as the Holy Ghost began to pin this verse down, and as things began to rear up in my heart, I began to think about what he said with this mighty man that has arrows. I got to thinking about a bow tonight. Probably about 20 years ago, I'd never held a bow in my hand. I knew very little about it. And I found this out. The first thing before an archer ever learns how to shoot a bow, he's got to find something out about archery. And number two, he's got to get a manual. Can I borrow this right here? Right here's the greatest manual that you'll ever have in your life. Honey, you can't go on the internet and get a better manual than this King James Bible tonight that teaches us about a bow and an arrow. What a manual. It speaks to me. I'm glad that it's a truthful book. I'm glad it's a touching book. I'm glad it's a transforming book tonight. Oh, I'm glad I got the right manual this evening. You say, preacher, I don't know how to shoot a bow. Well, why don't you look up in the manual? I found this out about the thing of the bow and arrow. Before a man can ever master an arrow, he must learn first to master the bow. You see, before you'll ever raise children right, where the Bible says bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you must first learn how to handle you. It'd been a blessing. My young'uns sure do wish I'd have raised my grandbabies first. Somebody say amen right there. Before a man ever learns to discipline arrows, he must first learn to discipline himself. I've noticed something about this manual. Not only do I shoot a bow, and some of you won't like this, but I love to play golf too, and you can roll your eyes, but let me tell you, all y'all think a preacher's supposed to stay in a corn crib with blinders on and not have no life. Honey, I can be a Christian in the deer stand or on the golf course or on the job. I can be a Christian with a parasol in my hand. Somebody help me preach on a Wednesday night. There's an old feller, Brother Rick, what little I know about golfing. This is what he taught me about 25 years ago. He said, boy, you can practice all you want, but if you practice wrong, you're always going to be wrong. Don't matter how much practice you get, you got to practice right. I found this out about shooting a bow. Brother Tim, you're a pretty good marksman. Where you at? You done hit on me, Brother Tim. I learned this about shooting a bow. And I've noticed this in 20 years of pastoring families at the church that I'm at. There's many want to hold the bow too tight. You cannot hold the bow too tight, or you'll move at your target. Amen. I've seen some mom and daddies, they had such a stranglehold on their child. It's like raising a bird dog. If you keep him in the pen all your life, when he gets to be 3 or 5 years old, you turn him out of the pen, he don't know a car from a pine tree. He'll run out of the road and get run over every time. Let your young'uns have a life. Hold on too tight. I got some families in the church. They hold them on so tight, they look like little zombies getting out walking. We can't let them do nothing, go nowhere, be nothing. We're just going to keep them on a chain and in the pen all their life. Somebody help a boy preach on a Wednesday. We got to learn how to hold the bow right tonight. And on the same side, I've seen some that want to hold it too loose. They just let their young'uns do anything, go anywhere, do anything they want to do. But let me tell y'all something. Let me help you from a pastor's heart. You've got to have balance in everything you do. Just get a grip on it. And hold it right. Matter of fact, somebody told me if I go get me one of them wrist straps and put it on, when I let go of it, it wouldn't even fall out of my hand. It'd do some of y'all good tonight, get you a good Holy Ghost wrist strap. Amen. Even when you let go of it, there was somebody had it tied to you. Well, glory. I'm glad I ain't trying to leave it tonight. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's got a string on me. Glory to God. There's been times I've tried to let go, but he won't let me go. Glory. Well, glory. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's got his children. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. You got to learn to hold the bow right. Then thirdly, you've got to understand there's a sight on the bow. You can't do this and you can't do that. You got to look at the sight. Where's your sight set for your children? Many's got them set way up high. Education, prestige, clamor and clout. But Jesus said this, the bow and arrow is so different. Many times, if you hold it lower, you hit the spot. Many of you are aiming way too high. You need to get low like Jesus did and realize unless he hits the target, no target will ever be hit. They come out with something that I love from the old recurve days, Brother Tim. They put a level in the sight. Sometime I want to get off level. You ever had one young'un you pop your fingers at and they wilt, and another and you pop your fingers out and they bow up and say, get you some. Yeah, come on now, help me preach now. I'm talking about real living. I got a red-headed girl, 28-year-old. You can pop your finger. You better do more than pop fingers. Somebody help a preacher. The level, it'll keep you level. That's what we need. The good Holy Ghost to keep us level in what we're doing with our life, with our bow. Then Brother Tim gave me a point a while ago hollering, there's a stabilizer. That stabilizer, you put it in, it helps you hold steady, and it takes the vibration out of the shot. Somebody say amen. I'm glad I've got a stabilizer. I'm glad the stabilizer lives in me tonight. And when I make a bad shot, he makes it easier on me. Somebody help me preach tonight. And then they come out with something else. They come out with a peep sight. This peep sight is little. It goes on your string. You know what you do with that? When you pull it back, you got to get that peep sight set on your sight. You say, what's that do? Oh, Lord. It narrows our focus. I've noticed times that I've missed the target because I didn't have my focus narrowed. I'm glad to be a narrow-minded Baptist. Are you still believing that old bloody cross? Sure do. I still believe in the King James Bible being the only Bible on this planet tonight. I'm so narrow-minded, I believe the Holy Ghost has got me sealed to the day of redemption. I'm so narrow-minded, I believe if you'll build a church the way Jesus said to build it, it'll go for the glory of God. Whoop, hallelujah. That's the bow. But I noticed something else about this thing of archery. You'll notice that he had talked about that of an arrow. With every archer I've ever seen, you know what he's got to go with his bow? He's got a quiver. Now, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about a quiver. But I'm going to show you the best quiver that's known unto man tonight. I've noticed something about the archer's quiver. He always keeps it by his side. You know, it's something about this quiver. Not only do they keep it by their side, many hang it on their side, many hang it on their back, but it's something that all quivers have in common. They keep the arrows together. And I tell you something else that it does. Not only is it close to his side, not only does it keep the arrows together, but it protects the arrows. It's amazing how fragile that is without a quiver. But boy, when they're stuck in the precious Word of God, close to your heart, that's the safest place that them arrows could ever be, is in the precious living Word of God. I tell you something else, you that hunt, that I figured out this evening. Not only is it a place that is to be kept by our side, not only does it keep those arrows together, but I tell you something else a quiver does, because they got pointed ends and they're real sharp. They'll protect the bowman. You don't know how much your Bible with them arrows in your quiver is protecting you.
Amen. That's right.
There's a lot of mom and daddies went to sleep last year, didn't wake up because their young'uns took them out of this world. Brother Tim, the last thought would ever be on my two children would be to take me and Mama out of this world. These quivers are designed to not only
protect us, but it protects them. I pastored my first church in Lineville, Alabama. I was about 30 years old or so. We drove nearly 50 minutes to that church, and them little old young'uns, you know what they done then, Brother Rick? We put them in the van, put them in car seats behind us, and we carried them everywhere we went. We'd open up that car and lead them in the church house. And now let me tell you, they're not there to hurt me. They're there to protect me. I thank the Lord I have children that love me. Isn't it a blessing to have children as arrows that keep you safe? My dad-in-law lives next door, and my wife, one reason she don't travel with me, she's his caretaker. Every time I go in there, Brother Rick, he says, Ken, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for you and Renee, how you see about me. You see, he raised her up. I was raised in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, down to Bowden, Georgia's, where I was a date and driving 250 miles. I thought her daddy was real cruel, made me have her home at 10 o'clock. But now I know what he's saying. You know, isn't it amazing that he had her in his quiver? And not only did it protect her now, it's protecting him. You say, preacher, I don't need nobody. Let me tell you, if the Lord tarries his coming and lets you live, you're going to need somebody. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Not only is there a bow involved, and not only is there a quiver involved, but there's the arrow involved. That's an amazing thing put in the hands of a man that knows what he's doing. It is an amazing feat to see a man that knows what he's doing with this arrow, of what he accomplishes in life. Now, I've noticed this about the things of arrows. Now, I'm not going to preach much longer. But I've noticed this about the thing of an arrow. I was looking up what the old timers used to do. I love the old thing. I've got an old hand-hewed log cabin built in 1830. I love old stuff. You walk in, it's like you just walk. I'm talking about wood-burning fireplace. I mean fireplace poker friend. I'm talking about old-time Holy Ghost mantle. Somebody say amen right there. I'm talking about, friend, it looks like Daniel Boone moved to town. I love that kind of living. And I looked up, Brother Tripp, and I looked how the old men used to fashion their arrows. I loved it. He said we would go to a green young limb. We would cut that limb. And in order to make that arrow straight, because if it's not straight, it don't fly right. And this is what one of them old timers said. I loved it. He said, when it's crooked, we would just simply put, we would just simply put it over our knee and apply pressure. Amen. Hey, y'all, this time out ain't a working. My daddy'd take time out, all right. He'd take time out to tear the back porch down with you. Yeah. Somebody say amen right there, friend. Amen. I love what he said. He said by just a continual pressure, he'd put it over his knee and apply pressure where it needed it. Brother Tim, I've noticed something about shooting these arrows. As you start using these arrows, they all have a trait that you have to be careful. They'll start making a different sound.
And the problem is the head on it's come loose. Some of y'all need to get your head screwed on right. Somebody say amen right there, friend. I got a little old grandboy named Parker, 5 years old. I wish I had him with me tonight. Sometimes he'll do something, I say, Parker, what you thinking? I said, boy, you got to get your head screwed on right. We got a golf cart. Him and the other grandbaby just take turns in the front yard, you know. Each one of them wanting to drive it. And I'd been gone another week, and I come in, and the golf cart had a white mark on it. I sat on the porch with Mimi, and they pulled up there. And, hey, Pop! I said, hey, young'uns, let me ask you something, Parker. What hit that golf cart? Where'd that white scratch come on it from? He said, Pop, we run into some briars. I said, Parker, I've been in the woods a long time, son. Briars bring blood. They don't put white on you. Somebody say amen right there. I said, now tell me the truth, Parker. Tell me the truth. If you'll always tell me the truth, you'll always go right. He said, Pop, Libby running the clothesline. I said, what y'all thinking? Some of you mom and daddies, I want to ask you something right here just a minute about getting this head screwed on right when it comes loose. Do you really think your youngins at 1, 2 in the morning in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot, they out there having Bible study? What y'all thinking? What in the world are y'all thinking? You're raising youngins. Not adults, youngins. I'll move on. Y'all don't like that point. I noticed something else about this arrow. Not only must it be straightened, not must only this head be put on tight, but I've noticed sometimes through a lot of use and wear, feathers need to be adjusted. See, that's the back end of the arrow. I got to find my Bible. I want to read a verse right here that sure is powerful. And I love what it says right here. It says that if you would take that rod and put it on that young'un B times. You know what the old fella told me that meant? That means put it to them every time they be needing it. B times. He that spareth the rod spoil the child. He ain't talking about abusing young'uns. He's talking about discipline, young'un. Notice something else about these arrows. Sister, if you'd come to the piano tonight, I'm going to close this sermon down with a couple of thoughts. You've been so kind to play for us. We've had a good time preaching tonight. Amen. Some of you not only need to tighten their head up, you need to get yours adjusted. We're responsible. And I want to say this tonight. May not be
such a terribly many young people here. But I'll tell you what it is, a lot of people here tonight. He's got a lot of grand young'uns. And you'll notice this, he didn't say first, second, or third generation arrows. He simply said arrows. All children are arrows. And you can be so effective with children. Can I say something to older people tonight? Have grace about children. And young folks, could I say something about older people? Love old people. Brother Tim, I've noticed this about this arrow. Listen and listen good. It only goes where it's shot. It goes the direction I'm pointing. And Brother Tim, I've seen something about the archery that I want to bring a thought right here about this bow and this release. Did you know that you'll never, ever be consistent as an archer unless you have the same anchor point every time you shoot that bow? You know what children are needing? Consistency. Anchored. My children, they never asked us this, are we going to church tomorrow? Brother Jeff, they asked me a lot what we're wearing tomorrow. But they ain't never asked me, do we go to church tomorrow? It's the Lord's Day. You know what young people are looking for? Consistency. Anchored in the same place. Don't care how much they whine, how much they hollering. You're anchored because you're focused. You got your sights on a target. That target is the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. I'm talking about old time Holy Ghost right kind of living, doing right by your word. I thought my daddy was the meanest man in the world. He's in heaven tonight, Brother Rick. Y'all, I had a mom and daddy. It's unbelievable. Preacher, I miss him. But Brother Rick, he anchored me. Because everything, every decision he made, this was the center of it. Why won't you let us go out there and run with them? Because we anchored. I've got to give you these two. A man that shoots a bow, he must learn to judge distance. Some of you are trying to shoot your arrows way too far. They're just like you human. They're going to make mistakes. They can only go so far. And he must learn to judge the wind. I'm glad the wind's blowing tonight. I hope I got it in here. There it is. You know what this is? It's called a release. You put it on the string and you pull your bow back. If you touch this trigger, it goes. A man taught me a very valuable lesson about this right here. He said, you listen to me, preacher. Don't you draw it back with your finger on the trigger. Put your finger behind the trigger when you draw it back, and don't you touch it unless you're ready for it to go. Don't send them out too quick. They'll have time. Let them be young'uns. Don't strangle them. Let them have a life. Let them learn to how to be a Christian down at Kroger. At the ball field. Wherever they go. Teach them. Be anchored. Not only is there an illustration, but there's a celebration. He said, bless it. Brother Rick took me out. Sister, you play. Brother Rick took me out one day this week. You know what he had in his back seat when he picked me up? Grandbaby. Blessed. Children's children are the crown. Matter of fact, you can help your children steer them grandchildren in ways they don't know how. You know what we ought to do tonight? There's a lot of churches here together. We ought to come down here as grandparents, as mom and daddies, and as people that is concerned about save the children. And ask the Holy Ghost to give you some direction about some arrows that God has entrusted in your quiver. Some of y'all do not even need no singing or no music tonight. It's camp meeting night. God is here. God has graced us with His presence and His Spirit. I wonder tonight, would you gather around this altar and say, oh God, help me, Lord, to guide these arrows in the right direction that they need to go. Lord, my grandyoungins are counting on me to be anchored right. Every time I pull back, I want to be anchored in the right position. With this Bible right in the center of my heart, help me. Lord, Holy Ghost, help me to shoot them right. Help me to steer them right. Lord, may I be so consistent in my anchor point that I'd never waver with my children and my grandkids. Help me to keep my focus narrow on the things that really matter.